How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. And today I'm joined by Willow to chat through the Richmond Tigers. Willow, Richmond, bit of a tough 2025.
Yeah, it really was a tough year for Richmond. Only the two wins and a pretty disappointing percentage of just 59. And they lost their first seven games in a row, which is, you know, not the best way to start a season. They finished 16th, which is disappointing after they were in finals contention pretty much the year before. And like a lot of clubs, the way the game changed based on a few of the rules and just the way the game was moving, it really didn't suit them. The quicker game style didn't really suit their list. They have a lot of contested players, not a huge amount of outside speed, and that really hurt them. They just weren't ready to shift to an uncontested possession game style, and as a result, they conceded a lot of uncontested possessions, and they struggled to get it themselves. So that kind of makes a really bad, concoction of things that make it really hard to play football well.
I feel like we've said a few clubs have really struggled with the rule changes and a faster flowing footy last season, but it feels like none more than Richmond.
Yeah, for sure. And it put their defense under a lot of pressure, which meant that they really struggled to stop teams scoring. And it wasn't all bad. They've still got a reasonably good core of players, and they did get the number one pick to fill a hole in their list, picking up Olivia Woolmerins. And there's been a lot of change as well. So new coach, Jared Donders. All the talk is about fast, exciting footy, and that's the way the game's moving, that's the way most clubs want to play these days, and that's what it sounds like they're going to do. They've also got new leaders, which are co-captains, which seems to be the way at the moment, Ellie McKenzie and Gabby Seymour. So they're taking over from Katie Brennan. I mean, Ellie McKenzie, one of the stars of the team, seems like a real football leader, the sort of player that will really lead from the front on field, and Gabby Seymour, great work rate, defensive general. I think it's a good choice by Richmond to give them leadership across the ground. I think the biggest problem for Richmond at the moment is they have a very experienced team, and you don't want to be at the bottom of the ladder with an experienced team. So I think that there's going to be a fair bit of focus on getting games into young players this year.
Yeah, they're quite experienced, and they are also a little bit on the older side. So it can be maybe a blessing, as in you've got all the players there, they're established, you're ready to go with a new coach, but you want to be making the most of that pretty quickly before your players start retiring and then you're just left with a new side at the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the player movements, the big out for Richmond was Grace Egan, traded to Adelaide. So there's going to be a spot in the midfield, which will be quite interesting how that's filled. And that could indeed be filled by Dana East, who is coming over from Fremantle. Given Fremantle was quite a midfield-heavy side that liked to tackle and play on the inside of the contest, Dana East had been playing a lot out on a wing, so it might be a good move for her to get into that midfield, which is something we can talk about a little bit later. A couple of other players, Jodie Hicks and Tessa Levy, two veterans of the team, retired, and they also had a few delistings, but the important thing for Richmond is they've brought in some young talent, and of course, Olivia Woolmerins probably going to slot straight into that forward line alongside Katie Brennan and Caitlin Greiser. Anna Mulholland, also a rookie from Ireland. And Georgia Stubbs is a really interesting one. Highly rated youngster, hasn't had a chance to play, probably because they're at North Melbourne, which is a very hard side to crack into, but could be a bit of a dark horse to get into that Richmond side.
Yeah, Georgia Stubbs is particularly exciting. I feel like Richmond have done well with these ins. So let's throw over to our interview today with Kate Dempsey and Jono to hear a little bit more about what Richmond have got planned.
Can't wait.
Great. Well, welcome Kate from the Richmond Tigers to the Free Kick podcast. We're very excited to have you on today. How's it going?
Thanks, Jono. Really cool to be here. Thanks for having me. Things are going really well. It's a very exciting time at Tigerland with lots of change and new faces for coaching staff and for players. So things are going really well. It's very exciting at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that was going to be the bulk of the questions today, is there's so much change happening at Richmond. I mean, to start with, I guess most recently you've just had Katie Brennan step down as captain, and you've appointed Ellie McKenzie and Gabby Seymour as your two co-captains. How was that process, and what are they going to bring to the club?
Yeah, that's a massive part of what's really exciting at the moment. Katie obviously being our, you know, fearless leader for so long, and could have honestly continued on. She's, you know, would never grow out of that position, but handing over the reins was something she wanted to do, which was, you know, supported by the club and the players too. So the process that we went through for leadership was really, really rigorous this year, because it was going to be so new and it wasn't so clear cut, as opposed to last years gone by when it's, you know, probably very clearly Katie from the get-go. So they went through lots of different interview processes. We had to like put forward who we wanted to be leaders to Jane. We also had to then do a whole team voting system and talk about what our leaders had to be and wanted to be like. Then they had to do like interview with the staff members to make sure they were aligned with the staff members' vision. So it was a super rigorous process. It wasn't just, you know, pulling names out of a hat or this feels right. It was very systematic. But it's really awesome because Gabby and Ellie are such beautiful athletes in their own right, but together they're such a great combination. Like, Gabby is obviously like extremely dedicated. She is literally like Iron Woman type of dedication. There's like nothing she can't do and nothing she doesn't do well. And she's a real student of the game and this type of thing. So she sets a very high bar for us, particularly like from a training lens. And Ellie, on the other hand, you know, grew up more authentically around footy, more exposure to footy. So she is literally, she'll hate me saying this, but she is just a football nuffy. She knows everything about the game, every player, every stat. And not only that, is like she's just so inspiring on the field. So we've got this really great dynamic between the two of them. Obviously also accompanied by Mon, who's just, you know, in her own world level of amazing. So even the three of them is such a complementary group that we have this year.
Yeah, no, a fully amazing group of people there. We were lucky enough to be, we had Gab Seymour on a couple seasons ago as our interview for Richmond then, and I feel like she's just one of the most flexible people in the world, where, you know, she's come in and played ruck initially and then she's gone into the back line. I feel like there's not a lot she can't do really. So, but that's great to hear. And it's not just the captaincy that's changed on the leadership front. You've also got a new coach coming in with Jared Donders. What have your first impressions of him been like this year?
Yeah, Jazz is, he is a weapon as a coach. I'm absolutely loving working with him. He's very specific. He's very detail-oriented. He's got a very clear vision for us. He's got a teaching background, so his ability to get us all on board with a new game plan and doing that to our different levels, so like the older girls who, you know, understand things a little bit more quickly, and the newer players in the system. So he's really good at that detail level. And the big thing he's brought to our program this year is this concept of being sort of world class in everything we do. And so there's sort of no I's left undotted and no T's left uncrossed with him. He thinks about everything. Probably, I would imagine, dreams about the club, which for us is amazing. Like, there's no ambiguity. We've got a clear direction, a clear focus, and his passion as well. He's one of the most passionate men about everything to do with football and women's football in particular. So that is really contagious amongst the group. So he's really been a refreshing part of this year so far.
Yeah, no, I mean, that sounds fantastic for the club. Love that energy coming in. And I suppose having all these different people on different levels, it makes sense, because I feel like you're a list that's sort of split into, you know, quite a few different age brackets there, where you've got a lot of the club is quite experienced. I feel like you've had a core unit that's been around for a while. but then you've also got all these new players coming into the club this season. I mean, just to start, I suppose, with the area that you personally work in, which is that midfield unit running up and down the wing there, you've got so many experienced campaigners. We've already talked about Mon Conti and Ellie McKenzie, but we saw some youngsters come in Sierra Greaves last year and Isabel Bacon spending a lot of time in that midfield unit. But you've also seen Grace Egan, who I feel like for the last, you know, however, 4 or 5 years has been a big part of that midfield, depart the club. I guess it's interesting to see how you sort of bring in new youth into that area. And the club's clearly targeted that with, you know, Dana East coming in from Fremantle in the offseason, Georgia Stubbs from North Melbourne, even Anya Mulholland coming in from Ireland for the first time. I mean, what have they been like, you know, blending into the program?
Yeah, the new people in our program, the youth as well. I mean, I think the word of the day for Richmond at the moment is just refreshing, because they're exactly the same way. All the girls coming in have this real hunger, this eagerness, and are super disciplined. They take things very professionally, and it's been really exciting. And like, say, yeah, Eastie's been incredible. Her fitness level, there's no chance I'm catching her on the track anytime soon, which brings on as well Bea Pugh, or Buzz, as we call her, who's just like the most amazing, naturally gifted runner and athlete, and will likely, I imagine, clock up a few Ks for us up and down the ground this year. And even there's a new player, Fina, who I've been watching these girls compete. They come in and they're 18 and 19 and they're bulls with the ball. Like, I don't want to tackle them. They're very, very strong, and they're some 10 years younger than me. So they're just coming in just ready to play, ready to compete, and it's really cool to watch. And it also asks the question of the older girls in the group that we have to continue to uplift and do better and be stronger and fitter, because otherwise these girls will just run rings around us.
No, I love that. So it's a different world. I feel like they're coming in with so much power these days. You know, I was looking at what Havana Harris was doing last season as an 18-year-old. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I suppose as a Richmond crew, I'm wondering, last season was obviously not the most happy season around the club, a little bit disappointing based on, you know, how well you performed in previous seasons. What are some of the reflections that you have on last season?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And, you know, I look back at last season with a lot of, we've got so much room to grow. And what the potential that we had, we didn't show in the 10 games, but we had the opportunity as well. So there's a lot to do with looking at the little things, getting on the same page, making sure we all know we're on the same page. And I think that's where the club have been very methodical and strategic in who they've bought into the program, because the people they've bought in have literally just brought those things to life that maybe we didn't know at the time we needed more direction in specifics or game plan or these types of things. But I mean, me personally, there's a level of like, where once you lose for a few games in a row, there's a confidence, like, am I doing enough? Am I at the level? So coming into this year feeling like we know what we're doing and we have the confidence to be able to put forward a game plan that's going to compete has been a really big improvement. So, but, you know, again, the thing that comes to mind is being world-class with the little things. Everything we do, everything we do is like very intentional, very specific, and that's been a big shift in where we're going and where the game's going as well, as it's getting faster and stronger and more dynamic and smarter. So we've got to keep up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The game is getting so much faster, and I do love that Jared's been talking about this faster attacking game style. I know you're not going to be able to tell us everything about the game plan, but is there anything you can give us away of what we can expect from the Tigers this season?
Yeah, I'll have to hold my tongue a bit here. But very typical Richmond brand of what we want to bring forward. Like, we want to honour the club that we play for, which is this fight, compete, speed, exciting. Like, we want our fans to come in and be, like, excited to watch us every week. And that comes from us being very well drilled and very well, you know, it's not this rogue type thing. It's very precise and methodical. But we want to play an exciting brand of footy, and we want to really test out our opposition and put them to the sword when we can, and excitement both on offense and defense, that it's not just, you know, this dour shutdown type of thing. Like, we want to be a good brand of footy to watch and be a part of. So that's definitely something that I can imagine coming this way for the fans.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear. I feel like when we look at Richmond's fixture last season, I was just thinking about that win against Adelaide that you had sort of mid-season to break through for your first of the season. It seems very strange that the Richmond Footy Club has, you know, had these losses but then can beat a finalist team of that calibre. You know, it just feels like this is not really a rebuild. It's more of just a reset on how you want to do things, but that you're potentially looking to return to finals quickly. I mean, is that how the club is seeing it internally?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been no conversation or discussion about a rebuild or a anything. I think we're just pivoting. Like, we back out. We've historically, for whatever reason, have performed against the top four teams and really given them a shake and given them a run for their money. But we have needed to be able to be more consistent with particularly the teams in the middle of the table or the lower end of the table. There seems to be some sort of thing. If a gun's held to our head, we that's when we turn up, and that's when you're playing the north of the world and Melbourne. But we want to just be that fierce, consistent competitors. And yeah, I don't think there's been no mention of rebuilding, rebranding. Like, we know that we have within our team, we have a squad that can be any team, and we're really confident in that. And with the right direction and the right being on the same page all together, I think things are going to turn very quickly, as they usually do in W. You never quite know who's going to be where in the season.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of change in the ladder every year, which makes it so interesting to follow. I guess one of the things we were looking at last season is when we talk about the talent that's on your list and it's just not really being realised in the way we would hope it would be. So to look up forward, you've got Katie Brennan, who's, you know, one of the best players to play the game. You've got Caitlin Greiser, who can, you know, take a pack mark like no one else. And then Amelia Yassir, Paige Scott. There's a lot of talent up there. And you've also adding in the number one pick, Olivia Wilmarens, who seems to, be another one of those ready-made players we were talking about before. But at the same time, with all this talent, we've still got, you know, a lot of struggles trying to score there last season. I think you were 18th in the competition for scores per inside 50. I can't imagine it's changing, you know, necessarily who you're kicking it to, but is it more about how you're, I suppose, delivering the ball inside 50? What are the different ways that you're talking about trying to improve that forward connection?
Yeah, it's such an important part of the game, and I think we saw last season that all of a sudden AFLW games were going from looking like a soccer scoreline of 5-8, you know, to scores really high scores, and so you have to be able to put runs on the board. And what I think the answer is both. I think there's something in the way that we're delivering the ball inside 50, and that is coming from our backs and our mids. But it's also what we're doing inside 50 to allow that delivery to come in. Are we moving and working for one? Are we stagnant? Do we know what we're going to do and it's predictable? And I think that's something that we've lacked years gone by. It's like we'll just figure out each individual play on its merits. But now we know if, you know, someone's streaming towards goal, that, like, give it to them. Like, that's a great opportunity. We all know that we're on the same page. So I think the answer is there's no one answer. It's that it's kind of all across the ground, shifting a few things. But a lot of it comes down to, I think, being more dynamic, having more of an attacking game style, not doing this, like, LDL boring down the line. Like, that doesn't give our forwards a chance. Gives the opportunity for the opposition backs to set up and really easily defend us. So our new game style is going to really help that as well. And sort of we're looking to get, you know, not just a slight improvement in that area, but we want to be one of the highest scoring teams in the W. So hopefully a big turnaround.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sounds exciting. The other thing I was thinking is first-year coaches usually like to experiment with things. And I think having that ability to sort of vary your role mid-game if needed is something that we're seeing more and more in the AFLW these days. I remember last year with Richmond, we had a couple games at the start of the season where Beck Miller was playing up forward and was really impactful. I'm wondering, is there anything, any sort of experimentation happening this preseason that's been exciting to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, there's been a lot of positional changes. And again, I'm curious as to what Jared, because he is so specific and strategic of what I can say. He has come in with very clear roles for each of us. Like, he has a very specific idea of what our strengths are. And he came in and goes, yeah, no, you've been playing in the midfield. No, you need to be in the forward line. You've been playing there. You need to be here. So there has been a lot of positional changes. One that I'm really, really excited about, and I don't think Jazz would mind me sharing, is that Bez has been, you know, playing in the forward line previously, and she's an athletic, just an athletic human being, can sprint and accelerate quicker than anyone I've ever seen, and is terrifying when she's got the ball in hand, honestly. And Jared came in and goes, nah, you're a half back, mate. Like, you can put that under your wing and carry and take them on. And watching her go from up forward to half back, her confidence is booming, and she's just looks the part. Like, she's now not running out of tarmac when she's in the forward line and having. But there's a few big positional changes like that that Jazz has made that seems to be like everyone's feeling really refreshed by. And who knows, maybe I'm one of them. Maybe I am. And I'm feeling that. But a few big changes to come.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear. I do love when you see that pace coming off half back. It just changes the whole dynamic of the run and carry of the team. Yeah. Well, on you, I mean, you don't have to tell us if there's a new role happening, but it is exciting. You're coming into your eighth season now, which is, you know, seriously impressive. And also, I think you've played something like, you've only missed, what, one game since the start of the 2021 season, which is unbelievable consistency. I mean, firstly, how are you staying on the park every game? That's, I think you were in the top five for like most games in a row at some point. What are you focusing on coming into your eighth season now?
Yeah, I think the focus over the years has changed and has had to change as I've gotten older, as my situation has changed outside of football. You know, now I'm a mum of two young girls, both, you know, four and one. So I used to kind of just flow on, recover as per everyone else and do what I needed to do and my body would be okay. But now, being, you know, a little bit older, I know that I'm almost recovering as hard as I'm training, almost recovering harder than I'm training, is a necessity and really, really important to me. But that's something that is, you just have to work with and looking at what you can do, because you're going to always, there's no player, I think, that goes through an entire season without a niggle or a hit or something that's a bit tight or just feeling a bit off. So being able to work with that as much as you can and how quickly you come back from that is what I've always, you know, prided myself on, because I have just as many niggles as I've got my adductor strapped up right now from that moment in training. So, you know, I have just as many niggles as everyone else, but I very quickly focus on, right, what am I going to do about it? And try and get in with the main group for availability as much as humanly possible, because that's, you know, no one wants to be doing laps of the oval by themselves. We want to be with the girls and be with the team. So that's what I try and focus on.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a tough skill to master, and it sounds like you've done it wonderfully. On the rehab group, there's one player I've been really keen to ask about. It was probably the saddest moment of last year when Matana McKinnon did her ACL for the second time. I'm really hoping that we might see her on the park at some point this year. Do you know how her rehab is going?
Yeah, Monty, she is just an absolute weapon of a human being, physically, mentally, all of the above. Her rehab is going really, really well. I think it was important to her to, obviously being the second time it's an ACL, and it's important to her this time around to, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do and more. Like, what's the thing I'm going to do differently to feel not just physically comfortable to play again, but also mentally feeling strong enough that I feel confident that it's going to work out for me this time. And she's been doing no She's left no stone unturned in her preparation, and all of her strength numbers through the roof. Like, she's just, you know, she's moving really, really well, running really, really well. I would say almost a definite at this point to be playing sometime this year. I'm not sure when it's going to be, whether it's start, middle, towards the end of the year, but she's really flying on the track, and we've missed her. So she'll be coming back stronger for sure.
Oh, that's so exciting to hear. Fantastic. And then finally, last question. We really like to ask, you know, if there's someone that you could pull out at the Richmond Tigers this season who you think is absolutely flying this preseason and is one to watch for the 2026 season, who would that be?
That is such a good question. For some reason, my mind straight away goes to Sierra Greaves, or Subbers, as we call her. She's just like an absolute weapon of a player. Like, she moves really, really well, and just alongside obviously Ellie and Mon, like, she's got no lack of talent for company in the middle of our ground there. So Sierra is someone that I find really exciting, but also the new players, the way that they come in, like, again, Bea Pugh or Buzz, Fina, Easty, all of these girls I think are going to be playing plenty of games for us this year, and just ready to compete. So that would be a few of my, and that is just also parking the fact that the always contenders, your Mons, your Ellies, they're always going to fire, and but I think that's the boring answer. So yeah, that's what I think about it.
Yeah, no, I love that we got a few options there. That's fantastic. Thank you. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. We've really appreciated having you. Sounds like a great little teaser for the Richmond season ahead. And good luck for your 2026 campaign.
Thanks so much, Jono. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that was a great chat. Really good to get someone as experienced as Kate Dempsey to be our interviewee for this season, given the amount of change that's happening at Richmond. So it was great to get some of her insights. And I really liked hearing that, you know, refreshing is the word for Richmond. I feel like they can definitely do with a refresh. So that feels hopeful. Yep, lots of new going on. Do you have any key takeaways?
To me, the big one is that they want to play quick footy. It's the way the game's moving. There's quite a bit of, you know, excitement around a few of the players there and some positional changes, which we will get to in a second. But yeah, I think they did need a refresh, as you said. That's the absolute word. Refresh the team. And I think they have the potential, maybe not to be a finals contender, but at least not one of the bottom teams.
Yeah, definitely hoping to see a ladder rise. Kate mentioned the player to watch being Sierra Greaves, so I feel like that leads us in nicely to our top five fantasy picks.
That is correct. Sierra Greaves is my number one pick for the fantasy side of things. So an average of 52.4 last year in the midfield. It's an awkward price point, I will admit, but I think the upside is really there with Sierra Greaves, especially if she steps straight into that midfield spot vacated by Grace Egan. We know that she definitely has fantasy pedigree as well. She was one of the players that, if you were lucky enough to jump on early when she was a rookie last season, you would have been very, very happy with her output. She started the season with a 78 and a 73. Fell away a bit as the season went on, but I think getting a lot of midfield time and the fact that I think Jared Donders will be very keen to refresh that midfield group, I see a lot of upside there.
Yeah, I think the growth on the average will just come from experience and opportunity in a shuffling midfield. So I think she's one of the most exciting players at Richmond.
Absolutely. That leads us to our second pick, and it's the new co-skipper, Ellie McKenzie. She was a fantasy star last year, and I want to quickly say we could have very easily had Moncon in this list, and I've deliberately avoided going for Moncon because you know what you're going to get with Moncon. She's going to put up a solid average between 90 and about 105. She'll score well for you, don't get me wrong, but she's the sort of player that you're probably going to target later in the season to fill out your team rather than as a starting mid. And especially with a bit of change in that midfield group, I just don't quite trust it to start with, but Mackenzie, new skipper, I think she's going to be one of the players that really steps up. Increased her average by 23 points last year. And one of the things that I think is quite interesting with Ellie Mackenzie is she also took a lot of kick-ins last year. And I'll be interested to see if that continues, because that really does help get those extra kicks, which can really make or break a fantasy pick.
Yeah, I agree with the Ellie Mackenzie pick over Monconti. I think this, even though her average did increase so much last season, it feels like with a younger, more exciting player like Ellie Mackenzie, not that Moncon's not exciting, but we know exactly what we're going to get.
just a W award winner. Not very exciting.
Yeah, just casual, highest average fantasy averaging player at Richmond for probably multiple seasons. Yeah, but. Yeah, we're all for looking for that upside in the preseason, and Ellie Mackenzie feels like she's got the spark.
Yeah, absolutely. At number three, I've got one of the players that was really highlighted as a positional swap, which was Montana Berrildson. Averaged only 29 last year and will be listed as a forward, but that move to half back is a really, really interesting one, and I think it's a great move, both by Jared Nonders and for her, because she's got pace. She can use the ball well, and it was just wasted in a forward line that was struggling to get the ball forward with any purpose and let her use her attributes. So she could very well become the distributor off halfback, could possibly take some of those kick-ins, and I think she's a pretty good chance to be one of the players that will be very cheaply priced that will gain a lot of money if that role is legit.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that Richmond's backline was under siege last season. Even if that's slightly less so, I suspect the ball will be down there quite a bit. So that does check out. It is hard to justify picking her to begin with, going to her fourth season coming off a 29 average. But I'd want to see a little bit more. I'm not quite sold. But
that's a preseason watch. Absolutely.
Watch and wait.
Watch and wait. My favorite phrase is back, which is great. Another one to watch and wait, and this goes alongside our number one pick, Sierra Greaves, is Dana East. So Dana East, as we've said, has come across from Fremantle, averaged 55 last year, which is middle of the road. But I think the thing about Dana East is, as I said before the interview, she's never really had a chance to get into a proper, like, midfield role. Very rarely had, like, high CBA numbers. Last year was a bit better, mostly around that 30 to 40 mark. But I feel like she's a player that could be given a lot more responsibility in that midfield. And if that does happen, I think we haven't seen the best of Dana East, and that average could quite easily jump 10 to 15 points. It's a bold call. It's that awkward price. I'm not sure I'm game enough to do it. I'd probably rather Sierra Greaves as well. But it's one that definitely has potential to rise in price if you're looking for someone a bit different. And that's also a player who will see how they go in terms of the preseason rotations.
Yeah, I think we've seen from her a couple of times when she's been quite in the, like, 100% CBAs in a couple of games, high 90s in the past. She can get her scoring up to the mid-high 70s. So I think that's good to see that as a upper bound. If nothing really changes too much, with relatively low time on ground as well. So I think there is some potential there, but I think at Richmond it's hard to pick players beyond the top three that we've already got. I see Dana East as a good option, but I'm not jumping into her straight away.
I agree. And I think the fact that, as you said, like, her time on ground was so low at Freo. She only had one game where she got played over two-thirds of a game. And in that game, she was scoring really well for, like, the points per minute sort of thing. And she does score well when she's on the field. So if she does get a bit more time on the ground, it could be a bargain pick. But as you say, it's a tough one at what her price will be. And I definitely will wait and see what it looks like in terms of the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all of the clubs to be slamming some watch and waits on, it makes sense for it to be Richmond with so much change. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. And the last one we've got is, I think, someone who we had pretty high in this list last year, which is Montana McKinnon. Unfortunately, played two games and then did another knee injury, which was really unfortunate. looked pretty good in the ruck on very limited game times, got a 46 and a 52. So that average of 49 will be greatly discounted. She's too good a player to not play if she's fit. And a lot of clubs, I think, will probably be running two rucks. Poppy Kelly did a lot of the ruck work by herself last year. I'd be surprised if Montana McKinnon didn't play a role at some point. I'm not sure she'll be fit to start the season is probably the main thing. So could be a player to trade down to gain a bit of money when she does play. So probably not a starter.
But it sounds like the interview. But it sounds like the interview. She'll be ready at some stage this season. But I'll be keeping my eyes on for her return to the field because I think she would be well, like you said, well priced for a downgrade option when that does happen.
Absolutely. Which leads us to the host special, and I have to say, Mel, this is a special.
I'm so excited. I get to talk about one of my favorite players, Paige Scott. So this is for the people that, you know, not everyone's playing for a hat when they play fantasy. Some people are playing for, you know, to beat their friends in a competition. And some people are playing because they want a reason to, like, get their heart rate up. They're like, I don't want to exercise. I just want to be incredibly stressed and bought in and emotional and motivated. And Paige Scott is the player for you. Priced at, averaged with 33 as a forward, she is so cheap. She's going to become an in-basement price. And how could you ignore a bargain like Paige Scott? They hold the record for the fourth most frees against last season. And honestly, I haven't gone back to many other seasons, but it's probably up there as well.
I would suggest they are very high for many seasons.
Yes. And who wants boring? You know, you can get consistent scoring out of Moncon. If you want variance, want to oscillate between a 9 and a 63 over a two-week period, Paige Scott can bring everything for you. They can be incredibly valuable or somewhat useless on your field with a 9, and you just never know what you're going to get. I reckon Paige Scott is also such an entertaining footballer. The amount of rage they bring into any tackle, especially when they get a free against, which is semi-regularly, it's just such great watching. You're bought in along the journey. I would highly recommend putting Paige Scott on your fantasy team if you want to get an emotional season out of your fantasy team.
I mean, speaking of emotions, I reckon when Liam hears this, he'll probably have a conniption because that's the sort of fantasy advice that you and I love to give and he would not. But
it all depends what you want to get out of the game. You know?
I do want to say that Jono and I were talking about how Richmond will shape up this year, and Jono decided he wanted to go really speculative. And he reckons Paige Scott, with no basis in anything, is going to play off halfback and be and therefore a chance to use their skills, their strength in the contest, their foot skills out of the back line to be a great player. I can see it. There's absolutely zero basis to it actually happening. But you know what? If that does happen, Mel, you may have come up with an absolute golden one, possibly completely by accident. But if that's the case, I love it.
Then Paige Scott is a lock.
Absolute lock. I'm going to hold you to that.
I think so. That was very satisfying. Thank you for giving me my moment. And with that, we will wrap up on the Richmond Tigers 2026 pre-season preview. If you want to read more about the Richmond Tigers, head over to our Substack to read our article out now. And stay tuned for more club reviews coming soon. We'll chat to you later.
See ya.